Welcome to Dune Reads Goosebumps. I am Dune, and this is part one of The Haunted Mask by R.L. Stine on Dune Reads Goosebumps. Usually at the beginning of these, I put some sort of introduction, just kind of like a, almost like a blog, just kind of rambling, maybe just a story about my dog or something, or what I've been up to, or my newest excuse for why I don't get these up on time. But right now, I actually wanted to go through the three newest iTunes reviews, and I really, really like what I've done here. I really appreciate them. I'm going to read them really quick in a second, but people don't really understand the point of this. It's not Goosebumps audiobooks, parentheses read by Dune Murderous. It is Dune Reads Goosebumps. The Dune is the emphasis of this one. It's Metallica does Frank Sinatra. Frank Sinatra may have composed the works there, but you're damn sure going to know it's Metallica when it's actually recorded by it. I really am doing exactly what I want to be doing with these. So, yeah, if you don't get it, you don't get it. But I don't make it for you. I make it for me. Anyway, so I'm going to go really quick pour through these three reviews. One of them's only one line, and two of them are about the same length as one another, and very awesome. So this one was from October 6, 2010 by Frog's Breath, and it's called Unwarranted Explicit Content, 17 plus only. This is a terrible podcast. The reader feels the need to add his own anecdotes of crude sexual and drug/alcohol nature. There is a never-ending supply of very harsh swearing, F-bombs to say the least. Goosebumps books are aimed at young readers. They aren't even teen books. That's the Fear Street series. Now, if you have no problem with the above, let's discuss the sheer unprofessional nature in which this reader presents himself. It sounds like the guy has never read the books before in his life. He is constantly reading in the incorrect tone, pronouncing it like a sentence instead of a question, for instance, and is rereading sentences and words quite often to rectify mistakes. I also don't think it's too much to ask for at least a semi-monotone narrator in the worst-case scenario, but no, the reader has horrific voice impersonations and adds far too many unnecessary content. I'm just reading this how, this is how it is. Implied, funny, or otherwise. I strongly advise any person out there to not listen to this podcast, especially if any listener will be younger than 17. There are comedy shows and audiobook shows out there of great and even decent quality. This is neither. The second review is by Belinda Erickson, written September 15th, 2010. This podcast needs to be marked explicit, is the title. But all these are one star, by the way, obviously. I tried listening to The Ghost Next Door, which I've always remembered fondly. This only left a bad taste in my mouth. Dune can't just sit there and read the book straight as it should be. He has to make little comments about how he feels if something is stupid, and he had to have a small conversation with his girlfriend if one of the characters is pronounced Herb with an H or Herb, more like the plant. He fumbled on this name every time it popped up, and I finally had to turn the podcast off after hearing the C word twice. There's no excuse for that sort of language when you're reading books that were intended for a younger audience anyway. Also, burping when the main character was supposed to sigh. What are you, five? If the guy is going to at least pretend to be an audiobook narrator, then he can at least try and do it professionally. I deleted this podcast, and I have to say that I'm sorry I ever subscribed to it. I don't think that they understand this is exactly what I want to do. Don't want to read audiobooks. I want to be able to read a book and then drop a few cunts. All right, here's the last one, which is entitled WTF by Jack Sparrow 75, written on September 12th, 2010. If you're going to read the book, just read the book. I mean, why tell us what you're drinking? Worst podcast ever. Why don't you make podcasts? Which brings me to my next point. I am drinking an Old English 840-ounce malt beverage, and that brings us to Chapter 1 of The Haunted Mask on Dune Reads Goosebumps. What are you going to be for Halloween? Sabrina Mason asked. She moved her fork around in the bright yellow macaroni on her lunch tray, but didn't take a bite. Carly Beth Caldwell sighed and shook her head. The overhead light on the lunchroom ceiling made her straight brown hair gleam. I don't know. A witch, maybe? Sabrina's mouth dropped open. You? A witch?
Well, why not? Kylie Beth demanded, staring across the long table at her friend.
I thought you were afraid of witches, Sabrina replied. She raised a forkful of macaroni to her mouth and started to chew.
This macaroni is made of rubber, she complained, chewing hard. Remind me to start packing a lunch.
I'm not afraid of witches, Carly Beth insisted, her dark eyes flashing angrily.
You just think I'm a big scaredy cat, don't you?
Sabrina giggled. Yeah, I do.
She flipped her black ponytail behind her shoulders with a quick toss of her head.
Hey, don't eat the macaroni. Really, Carly Beth, it's gross.
She reached across the table to keep Carly Beth from raising her fork.
But I'm starving, Carly Beth complained.
The lunchroom grew crowded and noisy. At the end of the table, a group of fifth grade boys were tossing a half full milk carton back and forth.
Carly Beth saw Chuck Green ball up a bright red fruit roll up and shove the whole sticky thing in his mouth. Yuck! She made a disgusted face at him. Then she turned back to Sabrina.
I'm not scared of cats, Sabrina. Just because everyone picks on me and Carly Beth.
What about last week? Remember? At my house?
Sabrina ripped open a bag of tortilla chips and offered some across the table to her friend.
You mean the ghost thing?
Carly Beth replied, frowning.
That was stupid.
But you believed it like a little bitch, Sabrina said with a mouthful of chips. You really believed my attic was haunted.
You should have seen the look on your stupid face when the ceiling started to creak and we heard the footsteps up there.
That was so mean, Carly Beth complained, rolling her eyes.
Then, when you heard the footsteps coming down the stairs, your face went all white and you screamed. Ah, Sabrina recalled.
It was only Chuck and Steve.
You know I'm afraid of ghosts, Carly Beth said, blushing.
And snakes, and bugs, and loud noises, and dark rooms, and people that look different than you, and being in shape and physically fit, and witches, Sabrina declared.
I don't see why you have to make fun of me, Carly Beth pouted. She shoved her lunch tray away.
I don't see why everyone always thinks it's so much fun to scare me, even you, my best friend.
I'm sorry, Sabrina said sincerely. She reached across the table and squeezed Carly Beth's wrists reassuringly.
You're just so easy to scare. It's hard to resist.
Here, want some chips? She shoved the bag toward Carly Beth.
Maybe I'll scare you someday, Carly Beth threatened like a fucking premonition.
I think she's going to scare her later on the book using the haunted mask. That's probably what's going to happen in the book.
Her friend laughed. No way. Carly Beth continued to pout. She was 11, but she was tiny, and with her round face and short stub of a nose, she looked like Lucy from Seventh Heaven, which she hated and wished would grow longer. She looked so much younger.
Sabrina, on the other hand, was tall, dark, and sophisticated looking. She had straight black hair tied behind her head in a ponytail and enormous dark eyes. Everyone who saw them together assumed that Sabrina was 12 or even 13, but actually, Carly Beth was a whole month older than her friend.
Maybe I won't be a witch, Carly Beth said thoughtfully, resting her chin in her hands.
Maybe I'll be a disgusting monster with hanging eyeballs, green slime dripping down my face, and
a loud crash made Carly Beth scream.
It took her a few seconds to realize that it was just a lunch tray hitting the floor.
She turned to see Gabe Mosier, his face bright red, dropped to his knees and started scooping his lunch off the floor. The lunchroom rang out with cheers of applause.
Carly Beth hunched down in her seat, embarrassed that she had screamed.
Her breathing had just returned to normal when a strong hand grabbed her shoulder from behind her.
Carly Beth's shriek echoed through the room.
There is a chapter 2 that never goes out.
She heard laughter. At another table, someone yelled, "Way to go, Steve!" She whipped her head around to see her friend Steve Boswell standing behind her, a mischievous grin on his face.
Gotcha, he said, letting go of her shoulder.
Steve pulled out the chair next to Carly Beth's and lowered himself over its back.
Like A.C. Slater.
Hey! Hey, Preppy!
do you guys remember that show? That it was called... It was called Saved by the Bell. It was...
His best friend, Chuck Green, slammed his book bag onto the table and sat down next to Sabrina. Steve and Chuck looked so much alike, they could have been brothers. Both were tall and thin, with straight brown hair, which they usually hid under a baseball cap. Both had dark brown eyes and goofy grins. Both wore faded blue jeans and dark-colored long-sleeve t-shirts, and both of them loved to scare Carly Beth. They loved to startle her, to make her jump and shriek. They spent hours dreaming of new ways to frighten her. She vowed every time that she would never, never fall for one of their stupid tricks again. But so far, they had won every time. Carly Beth always threatened to pay them back. But in all the time they'd been friends, she hadn't been able to think of anything good enough. Chuck reached for the few remaining chips in Sabrina's bag. She playfully slapped his hands away. Get your own, jerk. Steve held a crinkled hunk of aluminum foil under Carly Beth's nose.
Want a sandwich? I don't want it.
Carly Beth sniffled in suspicion. What kind? I'm starving.
It's a turkey sandwich. Here,
Steve said, handing it to Carly Beth. It's too dry. My mom forgot the mayo. You want it?
Yeah, sure.
Thanks, Carly Beth exclaimed. She took the sandwich from him and peeled back the aluminum foil. Then she took a big bite of the sandwich. As she started to chew, she realized that both Steve and Chuck were staring at her with big grins on their stupid guy faces. Something tasted funny, kind of sticky and sour. Carly Beth stopped chewing. Chuck and Steve were laughing now. Sabrina looked confused. Carly Beth uttered a disgusted groan and spit the chewed up sandwich hunk into a napkin. Then she pulled the bread apart and saw a big brown worm resting on top of the turkey. Wow. It's so strange just thinking that this book was written like, what, 17 years ago or so? And if you did that to a kid now, you would be, like, expelled. You'd be having, like, a therapist way into your 20s and stuff. It's just, it's amazing how little pranks like that have changed, you know? I just read the article about a kid pointing his finger again. This isn't, like, right post-Columbine either. Just pointing his finger. Zero tolerance, not in school anymore. That is insane. Horrible world we live in. You European listeners, you don't understand it. America, man, we are quite the nanny state. Ah, with a moan, she covered her face with her hands. The room erupted with laughter. Cruel laughter. I ate a worm! I'm going to be sick! Carly Beth groaned. She jumped onto her feet and stared angrily at Steve. How could you? She demanded. It isn't funny. It isn't a real worm, Chuck said. Steve was laughing too hard to talk. Huh? Carly Beth gazed down and felt a wave of nausea rise up from her stomach. It isn't real. It's rubber. Pick it up, Chuck urged. Oh. Well, my rant was still valid. Whatever. You don't own me! Carly Beth hesitated. Kids all through the vast room were whispering and pointing at her, and laughing. Go ahead. It isn't real. Pick it up, Chuck said, grinning. Carly Beth reached down with two fingers and reluctantly picked the brown worm from the sandwich. It felt warm and sticky. Chuck's... Gotcha again, Chuck said with a laugh. It was real. A real worm. Oh, wait. So everything I said was valid. Yeah, Dune for the win. With a horrified cry, Carly Beth tossed the worm at Chuck, who was laughing wildly. Then she leapt away from the table, knocking the chair over. As the chair clattered noisily against the hard floor, Carly Beth covered her mouth and ran gagging from the lunchroom. I can still taste it, she thought. I can still taste the worm in my mouth. I'll pay them back for this, Carly Beth thought bitterly as she ran. I'll pay them back. I really will. As she pushed through the double doors and hurtled towards the girls' room, the cruel laughter followed her across the hall. Fucking chapter 3. How does it work? After school, Carly Beth hurried through the halls without talking to anyone. She heard kids laughing and whispering. She knew they were laughing at her. Word had spread all over the school that Carly Beth Caldwell had eaten a worm at lunch. Carly Beth, the scaredy cat. Carly Beth, who was frightened of her own shadow. Carly Beth, who was so easy to trick. Chuck and Steve had sneaked a real worm, a fat brown worm into a sandwich, and Carly Beth had taken a big bite. What a jerk! Carly Beth ran all the way home, 3 long blocks. Her anger grew with every step. How could they do that to me? They're supposed to be my friends. Why did they think it's so funny to scare me? She burst into her house, breathing hard. Anybody home? She called, stopping in the hallway and leaning against the banister to catch her breath. Her mother hurried out from the kitchen. Carly Beth, hi, what's wrong? I ran all the way, Carly Beth told her, pulling off her blue windbreaker. Why? Miss Caldwell asked. Just felt like it, Carly Beth replied moodily. Her mother took Carly Beth's windbreaker and hung it in the front closet for her. Then she brushed a hand affectionately through Carly Beth's soft brown hair. Why did you get the straight hair? She muttered. Her mother was always saying that. We don't look like mother and daughter at all, Carly Beth realized. Her mother was a tall, chubby woman with thick curls of copper hair and a lively gray-green eyes. And lively, goddammit. She was extremely energetic, seldom stood still, and talked as rapidly as she moved. Today, she was wearing a paint-stained gray sweatshirt over black lycra tights. Why so grumpy? Miss Caldwell asked. Anything you'd care to talk about? Carly Beth shook her head. Not really. She didn't feel like telling her mother that she had become the laughingstock of Walnut Avenue Middle School. To be fair, Walnut Avenue Middle School is probably the laughingstock of all other schools, I'm just saying. Come here, I have something to show you, Miss Caldwell said, tugging Carly Beth toward the living room. I'm just not in the mood, Mom, Carly Beth told her, hanging back. Come on, her mother insisted and pulled her across the hallway. Carly Beth always found it impossible to argue with her mother. She was like a hurricane. Rocking like a hurricane, sweeping everything in her direction.
That part wasn't in the Scorpion song.
Look, Miss Caldwell declared, grinning and gesturing to the mantelpiece. Carly Beth followed her mother's gaze to the mantel and cried out in surprise. It's a head! Not just any, Miss Caldwell said, beaming. Go on, take a closer look. Carly Beth took a few steps toward the mantelpiece, her eyes on the head staring back at her. It took her a few moments to recognize the straight brown hair, the brown eyes, the short snip of nose, the round cheeks. It's me, she cried, walking up to it. Yes, life size, Miss Caldwell declared. It just came from my art class in the museum. I finished it today. What do you think? Oh, this is like that Lionel Richie video. Except for maybe she's blind. Maybe that's the twist. Carly Beth picked it up. Carly Beth picked it up. Arid studied it closely. I assume that's supposed to be and. It looks just like me, Mom, really. What's it made of? Plaster of Paris. I think it's French, her mother replied, taking it from Carly Beth and holding it up so that Carly Beth was face to face, eye to eye, with herself. You have to be careful. It's delicate. It's hollow, you see. Carly Beth stared intently at the head, peering into her own eyes. It's kind of creepy, she muttered. You mean because I did such a good job? Her mother demanded. It's just creepy, that's all, Carly Beth said. She forced herself to look away from the replica of herself and saw that her mother's smile had faded. Mrs. Caldwell looked hurt. Don't you like it? Yeah, sure, it's really good, Mom, Carly Beth answered quickly. But I mean, why on earth did you make it? Because I love you, Miss Caldwell replied curtly. Why else? Honestly, Carly Beth, you have the strangest reaction to things. I worked really hard on this sculpture. I'm sorry, Mom. I really like it. Really, I do, Carly Beth insisted. It was just a surprise. That's all. It's great. It looks just like me. I had a bad day. That's all. Carly Beth took another long look at the sculpture. Its brown eye. Her brown eyes, staring back at her. The brown hair shimmered in the afternoon sunlight through the windows. It smiled at me, Carly Beth thought, her mouth dropping open. I saw it. It just smiled. No, it has to be a trick of the light. It was a plaster of Paris head, she reminded herself. Don't go scaring yourself over nothing, Carly Beth. You haven't made a big enough fool of your... Fuck. I'm really off already. I apologize. Let's get this, Dune. All right, everybody, take a knee. Let's get a hand in. Let's do this. Haven't you made a big enough fool of yourself today?
Thanks for showing it to me, Mom, she said awkwardly, pulling her eyes away and forcing a smile. Two heads are better than one, right? Right, Mrs. Caldwell agreed brightly. Incidentally, Carly Beth, your duck costume is all ready. I put it on your bed.
Huh?
Duck costume? You saw a duck costume at the mall, remember? Mrs. Caldwell said carefully, placing the sculpture on head on the mantle. The one with all the feathers and everything? You thought it would be funny to be a duck this Halloween, so I made you a duck costume.
Oh, right, Carly Beth said, her mind spinning. Why doesn't my mom get a real job? Why does she have time for all these art projects? Do I really want to be a stupid duck this Halloween? She thought.
I'll go up and take a look at it, Mom. Thanks. Carly Beth had forgotten all about the duck costume. I don't want to be cute this Halloween, she thought as she climbed the stairs to her room.
I want to be scary, or I want to join a sorority and be the slutty version of something, and then the boys will give me attention, and when they give me attention, I'll call them a pervert if they aren't attractive. This plan will work perfectly. It's so rational. SDSU, here I come.
She had seen some really scary-looking masks in the window of a new party store that had opened just a few blocks from school. One of them, she knew, would be perfect. But now she'd have to walk around in feathers and have everyone quack at her and make fun of her.
It wasn't fair. Why did her mother have to listen to every word she said? Just because Carly Beth had admired a duck costume in a store didn't mean she wanted to be a stupid duck for Halloween. Carly Beth hesitated outside her bedroom. The door had been pulled closed for some reason. She never closed the door. She listened carefully. She thought she heard someone breathing on the other side of the door. Someone or something. The breathing grew louder. Carly Beth pressed an ear to the door. What was in her room? There was only one way to find out. Carly Beth pulled open the door and uttered a startled cry.
Ah, this is exactly how every chapter ends. Ah!
Chapter 4. Quack! With a hideous cry, an enormous white feathered duck, its eyes wild and frenzied, leapt at Carly Beth. As she staggered backward in astonishment, the duck knocked over and pinned her to the hallway floor. Quack! Quack! The costume has come alive! Has anyone seen the I think in 1982, Lucio Fulci movie, The New York Ripper? It's, you know, Lucio Fulci did, like, Zombie, and, or Zombie 2, Beyond. Anyway, that this scene is remnant of that movie, and if you had seen that, the scene might actually be scary as opposed to a duck costume coming alive and attacking someone. But not many people have seen The New York Ripper, because it's like, it's filmed in New York with an Italian cast that speaks English, but it makes no fucking sense. The costume has come alive! That was Carly Beth's first frightening thought. Then she quickly realized the truth. Noah, get off me! She demanded, trying to push the big duck off her chest. The white feathers brushed against her nose. Hey, that tickles! She sneezed. Noah, come on! Quack! Noah, I mean it, she told her 8-year-old brother. What are you doing in my costume? It's supposed to be my costume. I was just trying it on, Noah said, his blue eyes staring down at her through the white and yellow duck mask. Did I scare you? Not a bit, Carly lied. Now get up. You're heavy. He refused to budge. Why do you always want everything that's mine? Carly Beth demanded. I don't, he replied. And why do you think it's so funny to try and scare me all the time? She asked. I can't help it if you get scared every time I say boo. Ah! He replied hastily. Get up. Get up. He quacked a few more times. Quack, 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 quack. Flapping the feathery wings. Then he climbed to his feet. Can I have this costume? It's really neat. Carly Beth frowned and shook her head. You got feathers all over me. You're molting.
Molting? Well, what's that mean?
Noah demanded. He pulled off the mask. His blonde hair was damp from sweat and matted against his head. It means you're going to be a bald duck, Carly Beth told him. I don't care. Can I have this costume? Noah asked, examining the mask. It fits me, really.
I don't know, Carly Beth told him. Maybe.
The phone rang in her room. Get lost, okay? Go fly south for the winter or something, she said, and hurried to the phone. As she ran to her desk, she saw white feathers all over her bed. That costume will never survive until Halloween, she thought. She picked up the receiver. Then she picked up the picture. Hey-oh! That was a top joke.
Hello? Oh, hi, Sabrina. Yeah, I'm okay. Sabrina had called to remind Carly Beth that the school science fair was tomorrow. They had to finish their project, a model of the solar system, constructed with ping pong balls. Very original, Carly Beth and Sabrina. Like, that's never been done before. Why don't you make a papier-mâché pyramid? Or volcano that... Fuck, no one's made a papier-mâché pyramid. I gotta get on that. Do I need baking soda and vinegar? Okay. Come over after dinner, Carly Beth told her. It's almost finished. We just have to paint it. My mom said she'd help us take it to school tomorrow. They chatted for a while. Then Carly Beth confided, I was so mad, Sabrina, at lunch today. Why did Chuck and Steve think it's so funny to do things like that to me? Sabrina was silent for a moment. I guess it's because you're so scarable, Carly Beth. Scarable? You scream easily. Sabrina said. Other people get scared, but they're more quiet about it. You know Chuck and Steve. They don't really mean to be mean. They just think it's funny. Well, I didn't think it was funny at all, Carly Beth replied unhappily. And I'm not going to be scarable anymore. I mean it. I'm not ever going to scream or get frightened again. The science projectors were all set up for judging on the stage in the auditorium. Miss Armbruster, the principal, and Miss Smythe, the science teacher, walked from display to display, making notes on their clipboards. The solar system, as designed by Carly Beth and Sabrina, had survived the trip to school in pretty good shape. Pluto had a slight dent in it. Which isn't even a planet anymore, girls. Get with 2010. Which the girls had struggled unsuccessfully to straighten out, and Earth kept coming loose from its string and bouncing across the floor. Both girls agreed the display looked pretty good. Maybe it wasn't as impressive as Martin Goodman's project. Martin built a computer from scratch, but Martin was a genius, and Carly Beth figured the judges wouldn't expect anyone else to be geniuses, too. Looking around the crowded, noisy stage, Carly Beth saw other interesting projects. Mary Sue Chong had built some kind of electric robot arm that could pick up a cup and wave to people. Really, R.L. Stein? Oh, the Asian girl, Little Miss Chong, can do that? You are a racist. You, God damn it, I'm sorry, R.L. Stein, I love you. And Brian Baldwin had several glass bottles filled with brown gunky stuff that he claimed was toxic waste. Brian Baldwin's making jankum! He's janking hard! Someone had done a chemical analysis of the town's drinking water, and someone had built a volcano that would erupt when the two judges came by. Tisk tisk, says Dune. Our project is kind of boring, Sabrina whispered nervously to Carly Beth, her eyes on the two judges who were ooing and awing over Martin Goodman's homemade computer. I mean, it's just painted ping pong balls on strings. I like our project, Carly Beth insisted. We worked hard on it, Sabrina. I know, Sabrina replied fretfully, but it's still kind of boring. The volcano erupted, sending up a gusher of red liquid. The judges appeared impressed. Several kids cheered. Uh-oh, here they come, Carly Beth whispered, jamming her hands into her jean pockets. Miss Armbruster and Miss Smythe... Miss Armbruster and Miss Smythe, smiles plastered across their faces, were coming closer. They stopped to examine a display of light and crystals. Suddenly, Carly Beth heard an excited shout from behind her on the stage. My tarantula! Hey, my tarantula got out! She recognized Steve's voice. Where's my tarantula? He called. Several kids uttered startled cries. Some kids laughed. I'm not going to get scared, Carly Beth told herself, swallowing hard. She knew she was terrified of tarantulas, but this time she was determined not to show it. My tarantula got away, Steve shouted over the roar of excited voices. I'm not going to get scared, I'm not going to get scared, Carly Beth repeated to herself. But then she felt something pinch the back of her leg and dig its spiny pincher into her skin, and Carly Beth uttered a shrill scream of terror that rang out through the auditorium.
Chapter 5.
Carly Beth screamed and knocked over the solar system. She kicked her leg wildly, trying to toss the tarantula off. Ping pong ball planets bounced over the floor. She screamed again, get it off, get it off! Carly Beth, stop. Sabrina pleaded, you're okay, you're okay. It took Carly Beth a long while to realize that everyone was laughing. Her heart pounding, she spun around to find Steve down on his hands and knees behind her. He made a pinching motion with his thumb and forefinger. Gotcha again, you dumb bitch, he said, grinning up at her. No, Carly Beth cried. There was no tarantula, she realized. Steve had pinched her leg. She raised her head and saw the kids all over the stage were laughing. Miss Armbruster, Miss Smythe were laughing too. They're all laughing at her. With a cry of anger, Carly Beth tried to kick Steve in the side, but he spun away. She missed. Help me pick up the planets, she heard Sabrina say, but Sabrina seemed far off, far away. All Carly Beth could hear was the pounding of her heart and the laughter of the kids all around her. They're all gonna laugh at you. Steve had climbed to his feet. He and Chuck were side by side, grinning at her, slapping each other high fives. Carly Beth, help me, Sabrina pleaded, but Carly Beth spun away, jumped off the stage and ran, escaping the dark auditorium aisle. I'm going to pay Steve and Chuck back, she vowed angrily, her sneakers thudding loudly up the concrete aisle. I'm going to scare them, really scare them, but how? Chapter 6 is just there in the air. Okay, what time should I meet you? Carly Beth asked, cradling the phone between her chin and shoulder. On the other end of the line, Sabrina considered for a moment. How about 7:30? It was Halloween. The plan was to meet at Sabrina's house, then go trick-or-treating through the entire neighborhood. Also, have you guys noticed that kids finish trick-or-treating now at like 6 in the evening and then it's just dead? Or maybe I live in shady neighborhoods where kids aren't allowed out at night. Whatever. The earlier the better. We'll get more candy, Sabrina said. Did Steve call you? Yeah, he called, Carly Beth replied bitterly. Did he apologize? Yeah, he apologized, Carly Beth muttered, rolling her eyes. Big deal. I mean, he already made me look like a jerk in front of the entire school. What good is an apology? I think he felt bad, Sabrina replied. I hope he felt bad, Carly Beth exclaimed. It was so mean. It was a dirty trick, Sabrina agreed. Then she added, but you'll have to admit it was kind of funny. I'm gonna have to admit shit, bitch, Carly Beth snapped. Has it stopped raining? Sabrina asked, changing the subject. Carly Beth pulled back the curtain to glance out the bedroom window. The evening sky was charcoal gray. Dark clouds hovered low. But the rain had stopped. The street glistened wetly under the light of the street lamp. No rain. I've got to go. See you at 7:30, Carly Beth said, speaking rapidly. Hey, wait, what's your costume? Sabrina demanded. It's a surprise, Carly Beth told her and hung up. It'll be a surprise to me, too, she told herself, glancing unhappily at the feathery duck costume rolled up on the chair in the corner. Carly Beth's plan had been to go to the new party store after school and pick out the ugliest, most disgusting, scariest mask they had. But her mother had picked her up after school and insisted that she stay home and watch Noah for a couple hours. Miss Caldwell hadn't returned until 5:15. Now it was nearly 5:45. There was no way the party store would still be open, Carly Beth thought, frowning at the duck costume. Quack, quack, she said miserably. She walked to the mirror and ran a hairbrush through her hair. You see that, guys? Now who's an adult? A hairbrush through her hair. Maybe it's worth a try, she thought. Maybe that store stays open late on Halloween. She pulled open her top dresser drawer and took out her wallet. Did she have enough money for a good scary mask? $30, her life savings. She wadded up the bills and stuffed them back into the wallet. Then, jamming the wallet into her jeans pocket, she grabbed her coat and hurried downstairs and out the front door. Hey, how about you shut the front door? The evening air was cold and damp. Carly Beth struggled to zap her coat. Wow, it actually says zap as opposed to zip. That's... God, I love the PDF so much more than the actual book. It's always a surprise. It's like a confetti of misspellings. Carly Beth struggled to zip her coat as she jogged toward the party store. The house next door had glowing jack-o'-lantern in the front window. The house on the corner had paper skeletons strung up across the front porch.
The wind howled through the bare trees. The branches above her head shook and rattled like bony arms. What a creepy night, Carly Beth thought. She started running a little faster. A car rolled silently by, sending harsh white light floating across the sidewalk like a bright ghost. Glancing across the street, Carly Beth saw the old carpenter mansion looming over its dark, weed-choked lawn. Everyone said the ramshackle old house was haunted by people who had been murdered inside it 100 years ago. Once, Carly Beth had heard frightening howls coming from the old mansion. When she was Noah's age, Steve and Chuck and some other kids had dared each other to go up to the house and knock on the door. Carly Beth had run home instead. She never did find out if the other kids were brave enough to do it. Now, Carly Beth felt a chill of fear as she hurried past the old house. She knew this neighborhood really well. She lived in it her entire life, but tonight it looked different to her. Was it just the wet glow left by the rain? No. It was a heavy feeling in the air, a heavier darkness, the eerie orange glow of grinning pumpkins in the window, the silent cries of ghouls and monsters waiting to float free on their night to celebrate Halloween. Halloween! Halloween!
Yeah, no Halloween part two of Misfits?
Trying to force all the scary thoughts from her mind, Carly Beth turned the corner. The little party store came into view. The window was lighted, revealing two rows of Halloween masks, staring out at the street. But was the store still open? Crossing her fingers, Carly Beth waited for a truck to rumble past, then eagerly jogged across the street. She stopped for a second to examine the masks in the window. There were gorilla masks, monster masks, and some sort of blue-haired alien mask. Pretty good, she thought. These are pretty ugly, but they have to have even scarier ones inside. The lights were on in the store. She peered through the glass door. Then she tried turning the knob. It didn't move. She tried again. She tried pulling the door. Then she tried pushing. No. No way. She was too late. The store was closed.
Chapter 17.
Oh, wait, I mean 7.
God damn it, I should probably start this over.
Carly Beth sighed and peered in through the glass. The walls of the tiny store were covered with masks. The masks seemed to stare back at her. They're laughing at me, she thought unhappily. Laughing at me because I'm too late, because the store is closed, and I'm going to have to be a stupid duck for Halloween. Suddenly, a dark shadow moved over the glass, blocking Carly Beth's view. She gasped and took a step back. It took her a moment to realize the shadow was a man. A man in a black suit, staring out at her. A look of surprise on his face. Are you closed? Carly Beth shouted through the glass. The man gestured that he couldn't hear her. He turned the lock and pulled the door open an inch. Can I help you? He asked curtly. He had shiny black hair, parted in the middle, slicked down his head, and a pencil-thin black mustache. Nothing like Gomez Adams, because that's a copyrighted character. Are you open? Carly Beth asked timidly. I need a Halloween mask. It's very late. The man replied, not answering her question. He pulled the door open another few inches. We normally close at 5. I really would like to buy a mask, Carly Beth told him in her most determined voice. The man's tiny black eyes peered into hers. His expression remained blank. Come in, he said quietly. As Carly Beth stepped past him into the store, she saw that he wore a black cape. It must be a Halloween costume, she told herself. I'm sure he doesn't wear a cape like that all the time. She turned her attention to the masks on the two walls. What kind of mask are you looking for? The man asked, closing the door behind him. Carly Beth felt a stab of fear. His black eyes glowed like two burning coals. He seemed so strange, and here he was. And here she was, locked in this closed store with him. A scary one? She stammered. He rubbed his chin thoughtfully. He pointed to the wall. The gorilla mask has been very popular. It has real hair. I believe I may have one left in stock. Carly Beth stared up at the gorilla mask. She didn't really want to be a gorilla. It was too ordinary. It wasn't scary enough. Do you have anything scarier? She asked. He flipped his cape back over the shoulder of his black suit. How about that yellowish one with the pointy ears? He suggested. said, pointing. I believe it's some sort of Star Trek character. I still have a few of them, I believe. Wait, yellowish with pointy ears? Is that like a yellow Vulcan or Romulan? Don't fuck with me on the Trek stuff. Maybe it was a Gorn, if we're going original series, which I hate to do. Burp, burp, burp.
No, Carly Best shook her head. I need something really scary. A strange smile formed into the man's thin mustache. His eyes burned into hers, as if trying to read her thoughts. Look around, he said, with a sweep of his hand. Everything I have left in stock is up on the walls. Carly Beth turned her gaze to the mask. A pig mask with a long, ugly tusks, and blood trickling from the snout caught her eye. Pretty good, she thought, but not quite right. A hairy werewolf mask with white pointy fangs was hung beside it. Again, too ordinary, Carly Beth decided. Her eyes glanced over a green Frankenstein mask, a Freddy Krueger mask that came with Freddy's hand, complete with long, silvery blades for fingers.
And an E.T. mask. That's scary in Atari sales, you know, because of that game.
Just not scary enough, Carly Beth thought, starting to feel a little desperate. I need something that will really make Chuck and Steve die of fright. Young lady, I'm afraid I may ask you to make your choice, the man in the cape said softly. He had moved behind the narrow counter at the front and was turning a key in the cash register. We really are closed, after all. I'm sorry, Carly Beth stated. It's just that... The phone rang before she could finish explaining. The man picked it up quickly and began talking in a low voice, turning his back to Carly Beth. She wandered toward the back of the store, studying the mask as she walked. She passed a black cat mask with long, ugly yellow fangs. A vampire mask with bright red blood trickling down its lips was hung next to a grinning bald mask of Uncle Fester from the Addams Family. Not right, not right, not right, Carly Beth thought, frowning. She hesitated when she spotted a narrow door slightly opened at the back of the store. Was there another room? Were there more masks back there? She glanced to the front. The man, hidden behind his cape, still had his back to her as he talked on the phone. Carly Beth gave the door a hesitant push to peek inside. The door creaked open. Pale orange light washed over the small, shadowy black room. Carly Beth stepped inside and gasped in amazement.
Chapter 8.
God damn it, my voice is already going out. 2 dozen empty eye sockets stared blindly at Carly Beth. She gaped in horror at the distorted, deformed faces. They were masks, she realized. 2 shelves of masks. But the masks were so ugly, so grotesque, so real, they made her breath catch in her throat. Carly Beth gripped the doorframe, reluctant to enter the tiny back room. Staring into the dim orange light, she studied the hideous masks. One mask had long, stringy yellow hair falling over its bulging green forehead. A hairy black rat's head poked up from a knot in the hair. The rat's eyes gleamed like 2 dark jewels. The mask beside it had a large nail stuck through the eye hole. Thick, wet-looking blood poured from the eye down the cheek. Chunks of rotting skin appeared to be falling off another mask, revealing gray bone underneath. An enormous black insect, some kind of grotesque beetle, poked out from in between the green and yellow decaying teeth. Carly Beth's horror mixed with excitement. She took a step into the room. The wooden floorboards creaked noisily beneath her. She took another step closer to the grotesque, grinning masks. They seemed so real, so horribly real. The faces had such detail. The skin appeared to be made of flesh, not rubber or plastic. These are perfect, she thought, her heart pounding. These are just what I was looking for. They look terrifying, just propped up on these shelves. She imagined Steve and Chuck seeing one of these masks and coming at them in the dark night. She pictured herself uttering a blood-curdling scream and leaping out from behind a tree at one of them. She imagined the horrified expressions on the boys' faces. She pictured Steve and Chuck shrieking in terror and running for their lives. Perfect! Perfect! With a laugh that would be, what a victory.
Sorry.
What a laugh that would be.
What
a victory. Victory! I am Tarvold! Carly Beth took a deep breath and stepped up to the shelves. Her eyes settled on an ugly mask on the lower shelf and had a bulging, bald head. Its skin was a putrid yellow-green. Its enormous sunken eyes were an eerie orange and seemed to glow. It had a broad, flat nose smashed like a skeleton's nose.
A skeleton's on the skull. They don't have a nose. They have an absence of a nose. It's like, I don't want to get annoying. Actually, I don't want to be like this. People are like, black's my favorite color. Actually, black's the absence of color. Then you're like, oh, I don't ever want to hang out with this person again. Anyway,
the dark-lipped mouth gaped wide, revealing jagged animal fangs. Staring hard at the hideous mask, Carly Beth reached out a hand toward it. Reluctantly, she touched the broad forehead, and as she touched it, the mask cried out. Heyo! It is now October 12th. I'm continuing this. If you hear a little jingle jangle in the background, it's from Sherman. That's Jackie's new dog. And new dog as of today. And he just got his balls cut out today. So he's a little sensitive and he's hanging out while Jackie's gone for a little bit and just being a sweetie. Just, how you doing, Sherman?
Okay, anyway, chapter 9.
Oh! Carly Beth shrieked and jerked back her hand. The mask grinned at her. Its orange eyes glowed brightly. The lips appeared to curl over the fangs. She suddenly felt dizzy. What is going on here? As she staggered back away from the shelves, she realized that the angry cry hadn't come from the mask. It had come from behind her. Carly Beth spun around to see the black cape store owner glaring at her from the doorway. His dark eyes flashed. His mouth was turned down into a menacing frown.
Oh, I thought... Carly Beth started glancing back at the mask. She still felt confused.
Her heart pounded loudly in her chest. I am sorry you saw these, the man said in a low, threatening voice. He took a step toward her, his cape brushing the doorway. What is he going to do? Carly Beth wondered, uttering a horrified gasp. Why is he coming at me like that? What is he going to do to me?
I am so sorry.
He repeated, his small, dark eyes burned into hers. He took another step closer. Carly Beth backed away from him. Then she uttered a startled cry as she backed into the display of shelves. The hideous masks jiggled and quaked as if alive.
Whoa, what do you mean?
She managed to choke out.
I'm sorry you saw these, because they are not for sale, the man said softly, like I didn't do.
He stepped past her and straightened one of the masks on its stand. Carly Beth breathed a loud sigh of relief. He didn't mean to scare me, she told herself. I'm just scaring myself. She crossed her arms in front of her coat and tried to force her heartbeat to return to normal. She stepped to the side as the store owner continued to arrange the masks, handling them carefully, brushing their hair with one hand, tenderly dusting off their bulging, blood-covered foreheads.
Not for sale, why not?
Carly Beth demanded. Her voice came out tiny and shrill.
Too scary, the man replied.
He turned to smile at her.
I think it's only in the novelty world where people run businesses, and in their businesses, they're like, oh, wait, you can't buy that one, you know? It's like the Apple store. Oh, you can't buy that iPod. Too freaky. That's like, what was I just watching, where they're just like, the business owner's like, he's only in, or they're complaining, he's only in it for the money. It's like, what? That's what any business is. It's capitalism, my friends.
Sorry. Too scary, the man repeated, pushing his cape behind his shoulder. But it's Halloween, Carly Beth protested. I have a really scary gorilla.
Oh, wow. I have a really scary gorilla mask. I said gorilla.
All right, let's get on track here, Dune.
The man said, motioning for Carly Beth to go back to the front room. Very scary. Looks like it's growling. I will give you a good price on it, since it's so late. Carly Beth shook her head, her arms crossed defiantly in front of her. A gorilla mask won't scare Steve and Chuck, she said. The man's expression changed.
Who? Oh?
My friends, she told him. I have to have that one, she insisted. It's so scary. I'm almost afraid to touch it. It's perfect.
It's... too scary, the man repeated, lowering his eyes to it.
He ran his hand over the green forehead. I can't take the responsibility.
It's so real-looking, Carly Beth gushed.
They'll both faint. I know they will. Then they'll never try to scare me again.
Young lady, the store owner started, glancing impatiently at his watch. I really must insist that you make up your mind. I am a patient man, but
please, Carly Beth begged, please sell to me. Here, look. She dug into her jeans pocket and pulled out the money she had brought.
Young lady, I...
$30, Carly Beth said, shoving the wadded bills into the man's hand. I'll give you $30 for it. That's enough. You can't Jew me down anymore.
It's not a matter of money, he told her. These masks are not for sale.
With an exasperated sigh, he started toward the doorway that led to the front of the store.
Please? I need it. I really need it, Carly Beth begged, chasing after him.
These masks are too real, he insisted, gesturing to the shelves. I'm warning you.
Please? Please?
He shut his eyes. Shut the fuck up. You will be sorry.
No, I won't. I won't. I know it. I won't. Carly Beth exclaimed gleefully, seeing that he was about to give in. He opened his eyes. He shook his head. She could see that he was debating with himself. With a sigh, he tucked the money into his coat pocket. Then he carefully lifted the mask from the shelf, straightening the pointed ears, and started to hand it to her.
Thanks, she cried, eagerly snatching the mask from his hands. It's perfect! Perfect!
She held the mask by the flat nose. It felt soft and surprisingly warm.
Thanks again, she cried, hurried to the front, the mask gripped tightly in her hand. Can I give you a bag for it? The man called to her, but Carly Beth was already out the fucking store. She crossed the street and started to run toward home. The sky was black, no stars poking through. The street still glistened wetly from the afternoon's rain.
This is going to be the best trick-or-treat night ever, Carly Beth thought happily, because this is the night I will get my revenge.
She couldn't wait to spring out at Steve and Chuck. She wondered what their costumes would be. They had both talked about painting their faces blue and dyeing their hair blue and being juggalos. Lame. Really lame. Whoop whoop. Carly Beth stopped under a streetlight and held up the mask, gripping it with both hands, but its pointed ears. It grinned up at her, the two crooked rows of fangs hanging over its thick, rubbery lips. Then, tucking it carefully under one arm, she ran the rest of the way home. Stopping at the bottom of the driveway, she gazed up at her house, the front windows all glowing brightly. The porch light sending white light over the lawn.
I've got to try this out on someone, she thought eagerly. I've got to see just how good it is.
Her brother's grinning face popped into her mind.
Noah, of course, she said aloud. Noah has really been asking for it.
Grinning gleefully, Carly Beth hurried up the drive, eager to make Noah her first victim.
Chapter 10.
Carly Beth crept silently through the front door and tossed her coat onto the entry floor. The house felt stuffy and hot. A sweet smell, the aroma of hot cider on the stove, greeted her. Mom really gets into holidays, she thought with a smile. Tiptoeing through the front hallway, holding the mask in front of her, Carly Beth listened hard.
Noah, where are you? Where are you, my little guinea pig?
Noah was always bragging about how he was so much braver than Carly Beth. He was always putting bugs down her back and planting rubber snakes in her bed. Anything he could think of to make her scream. She heard footsteps above her head.
Noah must be up in his room, she realized. He's probably putting on his stupid duck Halloween costume.
At the last minute, Noah had decided he wanted to be a cockroach.
That was my comment. That's how I feel about cockroaches.
Miss Caldwell dashed frantically all over the house, finding the materials to build the pointy feelers and a hard shell for his back.
Well, the little bug is in for a surprise, Carly Beth thought evilly.
She examined her mask. This should send the cockroach scampering under the sink. She stopped at the bottom of the stairs. She could hear loud music coming from Noah's room. An old heavy metal song.
Run for me!
Gripping the mask by the rubbery neck, she raised it carefully overhead, then pulled it slowly down. It was surprisingly warm inside. The mask fit tighter than Carly Beth had imagined. It had a funny smell, kind of sour.
kind of old. Like damp newspapers that had been left for years in an attic full of diarrhea. She slid it all the way down until she could see through the eye holes. Then she smoothed the bulging bald head over her head and tugged the neck down. I should have stopped in front of the mirror, she fretted. I can't see if it looks right. The mask felt very tight. Her breathing echoed noisily in the flat nose. She forced herself to ignore the sour smell that invaded her nose. She held on tightly to the banister as she crept up the stairs. It was hard to see the steps through the eye holes. She had to take the time and climb slowly, one step at a time. The heavy metal music ended as she stepped onto the landing. If you want to gamble, I'll tell you one new. Win some, lose some, it's all the same to me. She crept silently down the hall and stopped outside Noah's door. Carly Beth edged her head into the doorway and peeked into the brightly lit room. Noah was standing in front of the mirror, adjusting the two long cockroach feelers above his head.
Noah, I'm coming for you, Carly Beth called.
To her surprise, her voice came out gruff and low. It wasn't her voice at all. Huh? Startled, Noah spun around.
Noah, I've got you!
Carly Beth shrieked, her voice deep, raspy, and evil.
No!
Her brother uttered a harsh cry of protest. Even under his bug makeup, Carly Beth could see him go pale. She darted into the room, her arms outstretched, as if ready to grab him. No, please, he cried, his expression terrified. Who are you? How did you get in? He doesn't even recognize me, Carly Beth thought gleefully. And he's scared to death. Was it the hideous face, the deep rumble of a voice, or both? Carly Beth didn't care. The mask was definitely a success. I've got you, she screamed, surprising herself how scary her voice sounded from inside the mask. No, please, Noah begged. Mom, Mom! He backed toward the bed, trembling all over, his feelers quivering in fright. Mom, help! That's what 4 L's sounds like. Carly Beth burst out laughing. The laughter came out in a deep rumble. It's me, stupid, she cried. What a yellow-bellied scaredy cat! Huh? Still huddled by the bed, Noah stared hard at her.
Don't you recognize my jeans? My sweater? It's me, you idiot!
Carly Beth declared in a gruff voice. But your face! That mask, Noah stammered. It really scared me. I mean, he gaped at her, studying the mask. It didn't sound like you, Carly Beth, he muttered. I thought... Carly Beth tugged at the bottom of the mask, trying to lift it off. It felt hot and sticky. She was panting noisily. She tried to pull the bottom with both hands. The mask didn't budge. She raised her hands to the pointed ears and tried lifting it off. She tugged. Tugged harder. Tugged harder. Tugged harder. Umph. She tried pulling the mask off by the top of the head. It didn't move. Hey, it won't come off, she cried. The mask. It won't come off.
Chapter 11!
What's going on here? Carly Beth cried, tugging at the mask with both hands.
Stop it!
Noah cried. His voice sounded angry, but his eyes revealed fear.
Stop kidding around, Carly Beth! You're scaring me!
I'm not kidding around, Carly Beth insisted in her harsh, raspy voice. I really can't get this off.
Take it off! Take it off! You're not funny! Her brother shouted.
With great effort, Carly Beth managed to slip her fingers wider
the neck of the mask. See, the typos just throw me off. Managed to slip her fingers wider the neck of widen the neck of the mask.
Then she pulled it away from her skin and lifted it off her head. Woo! The air felt so cool and so sweet. She shook her hair free. Then she playfully tossed the mask at Noah. Good mask, huh? She grinned at him. He let the mask bounce onto the bed. Then he picked it up hesitantly and examined it. Where the fuck did you get this? He asked, poking a finger against the ugly fangs. At that new party store, she told him, wiping perspiration from her forehead. It's so hot inside it. Can I try it on? Noah asked, pushing his finger through the eye holes. Not now, I'm late, she replied sharply. She laughed. He sure looks scared. He tossed the mask back at her, frowning. I was just pretending, he said. I knew it was you. For sure, she replied, rolling her eyes.
Kelly, was there a time when people said, for sure, sarcastically? Oh, did I miss that one?
Midwest.
Oh, that was a Midwest thing?
Yeah.
Okay. They didn't have that in Killer Cali.
God, I want to kill myself for saying Killer Cali.
They didn't have that in California. For sure, she replied, rolling her eyes. That's why you screamed like a bitch.
I didn't scream, and I especially didn't scream like a bitch. Noah protested. I was just putting on an act for you.
Yeah, right, Carly Beth muttered. She turned and headed toward the door, rolling the mask over her hand.
How do you change your voice like that?
Noah called after her. Carly Beth stopped at the doorway and turned back at him. Her smile gave way to a puzzled expression.
That deep voice was the scariest part, Noah said, staring at the mask in her hand. How'd you do that?
Carly Beth replied thoughtfully.
I really don't.
But by the time she got to her room, she was grinning again. The mask had worked. It had been a wonderful success. Noah might not want to admit it, but when Carly Beth burst in on him growling through the hideous mask, he nearly jumped out of his cockroach shell. Look out, Chuck and Steve, she thought gleefully. You're next. She sat down in her bed and glanced at the clock radio next to her bed.
Clock radio.
She had a few minutes until it was time to meet everyone in front of Sabrina's house. Time enough to think of the best possible way to give them the scare of their lives. I don't want to just jump out at them, Carly Beth thought, playing her fingers over the sharp fangs. That's too boring. I want to do something they'll remember. Something they'll never forget.
Really, R.L. Stein, something they'll remember, something they'll never forget? I feel like you're trying to get a word count in here, you know? Whatever.
She ran her hands over the mask's pointy ears. Suddenly, she had an idea.
Apparently girls can have ideas now.
Chapter 12.
I'm drinking Coors Original, by the way.
Carly Beth pulled the old broom handle from the closet. She brushed off a thick ball of dust and examined the long wooden pole. Perfect, she thought. She checked to make sure her mother was still in the kitchen. She was sure that her mother wouldn't approve of what Carly Beth was about to do. Mrs. Caldwell still thought that Carly Beth was going to wear the stupid fucking duck costume that her stupid fucking mom spent stupid fucking 19 hours on. Lame. Tiptoeing silently into the living room, Carly Beth stepped up to the mantel and pulled down the plaster of Paris' head her mother had sculpted. It really does look like me, Carly Beth thought, holding the sculpture waist high and studying it carefully. It's so lifelike. Mom is really talented.
For a mom, parents are stupid.
Carefully, she placed the head on the broomstick. It balanced easily. She carried it over to the hallway mirror. It looks like I'm carrying my own real head on a stick, Carly Beth thought, admiring it. A wide grin broke out across her face. Her eyes sparkled gleefully. Excellent! Wild stallions! She leaned the head and stick against the wall and pulled on the mask. Once again, the sour aroma rushed into her nostrils. The heat of the mask seemed to wrap around her. The mask tightened against her skin as she pulled it down. Raising her eyes to the mirror, she nearly frightened herself. It's like a real face, she thought, unable to take her eyes away. My eyes seem to be part of it. It doesn't look as if I'm peering out of eye holes. She moved the gruesome mouth up and down a few times. It moves like a real mouth, she realized. It doesn't even look like a mask at all. It looks like a gross, deformed face. Working with both hands, she flattened the bulging forehead, smoothing it over her hair. Excellent, she repeated to herself, feeling her excitement grow. Excellent! This mask is perfect, she decided. She couldn't believe the man in the party store didn't want to sell it to her. It was the scariest, realest, ugliest mask she'd ever seen. I will be the terror of Maple Avenue tonight! Carly Beth decided, admiring herself in the mirror. Kids will be having nightmares about me for weeks, especially Chuck and Steve, she told herself. Boo! She muttered to herself, pleased to hear that gruff voice returned. I'm ready. She picked up the broomstick, carefully balanced her sculpted head on top of it, and started to the door. Her mother's voice stopped her.
Carly Beth, wait up, Miss Caldwell called from the kitchen. I want to see how you look in that duck costume.
Uh-oh,
Carly Beth groaned out loud.
Mom isn't gonna like this.
Chapter 13!
Sherman, don't step on my house shoes.
Carly Beth froze in the doorway. She could hear her mother's footsteps approaching in the hallway.
Let me see you, dear, Miss Caldwell called. Did the costume fit?
Maybe I should have told her about my change of plans, Carly Beth thought.
Those are topsiders, and they're not for Sherman.
Maybe I should have told her about my change of plans, Carly Beth thought guiltily. I would have said something, but I didn't want to hurt Mom's feelings. Now, she's in for a shock, and she's going to be really angry when she sees I've borrowed her sculpture. She's going to make me put it back on the mantle. She's going to ruin everything! God, that's so much like Mom's!
I'm in kind of a hurry, Mom,
Carly Beth called, her voice deep and raspy inside the mask.
I'll see you later, okay?
She pulled open the front door.
You can wait 1 second while I see my costume on you,
her mother called. She rounded the corner and came into view. I'm sunk, Carly Beth thought with a groan. I'm caught. The phone rang. The sound echoed loudly inside Carly Beth's mask. Her mother stopped and turned back to the kitchen.
Oh, darn. I'd better answer that. It's probably your father calling from Chicago.
She disappeared back in the kitchen.
I'll have to see you later, Carly Beth. Be careful, okay?
Carly Beth breathed a sigh of relief. Saved by the bell, she thought, balancing the head on the broomstick. She hurried out the door. She closed the door behind her and jogged down the front yard. It had become a clear, cool night. A pale half-moon rose low over the bare trees. Fat brown leaves swirled around her ankles as she headed to the sidewalk. The plan was to meet Chuck and Steve in front of Sabrina's house. Carly Beth couldn't wait. Her head bobbed and bounced on the broomstick as she ran. The house on the top corner had been decorated for Halloween. Her orange lights ran along the top of the stoop. Two large smiling pumpkin cutouts stood beside the doorway.
Really? You couldn't afford pumpkins?
A cardboard skeleton had been propped up at the end of the front walk.
Oh, well, you couldn't afford a real corpse.
I love Halloween, Carly Beth thought happily. She crossed the street onto Sabrina's block. On other Halloween nights, she had been frightened. Her friends were always playing mean tricks on her. Last year, Steve had slipped a very real-looking rubber rat into her trick-or-treat bag. When Carly Beth had reached into the bag, she felt something soft and hairy. She pulled out the rat and shrieked at the top of her lungs. She was so scared she spilled her actual candy all over the fucking driveway. Chuck and Steve thought it was a riot. So did Sabrina. They always spoiled Halloween for her. They thought it was so hilarious to scare Carly Beth and make her scream. Well, this year I won't be the one screaming, she thought. This year I'll be the one making everyone else scream. Sabrina's house was at the very end of the block. As Carly Beth hurried toward it, bare tree limbs shivered above her. The half moon disappeared behind a heavy cloud, and the ground darkened. The head on the broom handle bounced and nearly fell off. Carly Beth slowed her pace. She glanced up at the head, shifting her grip on the broomstick. The eyes on the sculpture head stared straight ahead, as if watching out for trouble. In the darkness, the head looked real. The shadows moving over it as Carly Beth walked on the tree limbs made the eyes and mouth appear to move. Hearing laughter, Carly Beth turned. Across the street, a group of trick-or-treaters was invading a brightly lit front porch. In the yellow porch light, Carly Beth saw a ghost, a mutant ninja turtle.
It's probably not teenage for copyright issues.
A Freddy Krueger.
Oh, wait, never mind. That seems like it's probably copyrighted.
And a princess in a pink ball gown and a tinfoil crown. These kids were little. Two mothers watched them from the foot of the driveway. Carly Beth watched them get their candy. Then she walked the rest of the way to Sabrina's house. She climbed the front step, stepping into a wide triangle of light from the porch light. She could hear voices inside the house. Sabrina shouting something to her mother. A TV in the living room. Carly Carly Beth adjusted the mask with her free hand. She straightened the gaping, fanged mouth. Then she checked to make sure the head was balanced on the broomstick. She reached to ring Sabrina's doorbell, then stopped. Voices behind her. She turned and squinted into the darkness. Two costume boys were approaching, shoving each other playfully on the sidewalk. Chuck and Steve. I'm just in time, Charlie Beth thought happily. She leapt off the stoop and crouched behind a low evergreen shrub. Okay, guys, she thought eagerly, her heart pounding. Get ready for a scare.
Chapter
14. Carly Beth peered over the top of the shrub. The two boys were halfway up the drive. It was too dark to get a good look at their costume. One of them wore a long overcoat and a wide-brimmed Indiana Jones fedora. She couldn't really see the other one. Carly Beth took a deep breath and prepared to leap out at them. She gripped the broomstick tightly. My whole body is trembling, she realized. The mask suddenly felt hot, as if her excitement had heated it up. Her breath rattled noisily in the flat nose. Walking slowly, playfully blocking each other with their shoulders like football linemen, the boys made their way up the driveway. One of them said something Carly Beth couldn't hear. The other one laughed loudly, a high-pitched giggle. Peering into the darkness, Carly Beth watched them until they were nearly right in front of the shrub. Okay, now, she declared silently, raising the broomstick with its staring head on top. She leapt out. The boys shrieked, startled. She could see their eyes go wide as they gaped at her mask. A ferocious roar escaped her throat, a deep, rumbling howl that frightened even her. At the terrifying sound, the boys cried out again. One of them actually dropped to his knees on the driveway. They both stared up at the head, bobbing on the broomstick. It seemed to glare down at them. Another howl escaped Carly Beth's throat. It started low as if coming from far away and then pierced the air, raspy and deep, like the roar of an angry creature. No! One of the boys cried. Who are you? The other cried. Leave us alone! Carly Beth heard rapid footsteps crunching over the dead leaves on the driveway. Looking up, she saw a woman in a bulky down coat running up the drive. Hey, what are you doing? The woman demanded, her voice shrill and angry. Are you scaring my kids?
Huh?
Carly Beth swallowed hard. She turned her eyes back to the two frightened boys. Wait, she cried, realizing they weren't Chuck and Steve. What are you doing? The woman repeated breathlessly. She stepped up to the two boys and put a hand on each of their shoulders. Are you two okay? Yeah, we're okay, Mom. The one in the overcoat and fedora replied. The other boy wore white makeup and a red clown nose. Whoop, whoop, fucking magnets. She jumped out at us, he told his mother, avoiding Carly Beth's stare. She kind of scared us. The woman turned angrily at Carly Beth and shook her finger at her accusingly. Don't you have anything better to do than to scare two young boys? Why don't you pick on someone your own age? Hey, why don't you pick on someone your own age, old lady? So what if the children just fucking took the life out of you, and now you're just old, you don't live your own life, and you see your old friends once a year, and the conversation feels forced and stuff, and it's not even like you guys get along, you're just hanging out because you're not the kids, and it's just your life's over, you're not happy, you're just not happy. Normally, Carly Beth would have apologized. She would have explained to the woman that she made a mistake, that she meant to scare two different boys. But, hidden behind the ugly mask, still hearing the strange howl that burst so unexpectedly from her throat, she didn't feel like apologizing. She felt anger, and she wasn't sure why.
Go away,
she rasped, waving the broomstick menacingly. Her head staring down at the two startled boys. What did you say? Their mother demanded, her voice tight with growling outrage. What did you say, you whore?
I said go away,
Carly Beth snarled in a voice so deep, so terrifying that it frightened even her. The woman crossed her arms and front of the heavy down coat. Her eyes narrowed on Carly Beth. Who are you? What is your name? She demanded. Do you live around here? Mama, let's just go, the boy with the clown face urged, tugging at her coat sleeve. Yeah, come on, his brother pleaded.
Go away. I'm warning you.
Carly Beth growled. The woman stood her ground, her arms tightly crossed, her eyes narrowed at Carly Beth.
Just because it's Halloween doesn't give you the right...
Oh, my God. How bad are parents, Kelly?
Mom, we just want to get some candy, the fat kid pleaded, tugging his shoulders at his sleeve. Come on! I need type 2 diabetes so bad! Where's my corn syrup, Mom?
We're wasting the whole night, his brother complained. Carly Beth was breathing hard, her breath escaping the mask in low, noisy grunts. I sound like an animal, she thought. Puzzled. What's happening to me? She could feel her anger growing. Her breathing rattled noisily in the tight mask. Her face felt burning hot. Her anger raged through her chest. Her entire body was trembling. She felt about to burst. I'm gonna tear this woman apart, Carly Beth decided.
All right, hey-o, this is Dune. That concludes part one of The Haunted Mask on Dune Reads Goosebumps. Like always, every book is by R.L. Stein. I know this is probably illegal, but I feel like the comments and stuff make it somehow acceptable through Creative Commons. Like, I know that someone put a full movie on YouTube and it somehow became acceptable, but I don't know, maybe someone can look that up for me. I'm sure it's not, come to think of it. Anyway, just to give kind of a reverse to the very intro of this, thanks to everyone that cares, you know, that's awesome. If you need anything, you can email me at dune@dunereadsgoosebumps.com or hit up the Facebook group or anything. I'm usually really good about replying, and you know, we can hang out. We'll play Minecraft together, right, Daniel? Hey-o!
All right, stay spooky, bitches!